Chapter 1. The Scent of Pine and Peace. The air in the Neutral Territories always smelled of damp earth and sharp pine. It had a good smell. A clean smell. It was the scent of safety. Arya Thorne breathed it in, her hands stained with the green of crushed milk thistle. She was a healer. Here, beyond the borders of the Great Pax, she was just Arya. No title. No brand. No past. Just a woman trying to keep her children alive.
Nanga.
A small body cannonballed into her legs.
Le.
Her son. He had his father's eyes, a shocking, bright silver that saw too much. His twin, Celine, was right behind him, quieter, her dark hair already braided with tiny wildflowers she'd found by the creek. Careful, little wolf, Arya murmured, catching him. You'll spill the poultice. Old man Hemlock says his knee feels better, Celine reported, her voice precise. She held up a small woven basket, an offering inside. He gave us bread.
Good. Arya smiled.
It was a small, tired expression, but it was real. This was her life. Mending twisted ankles for human loggers and brewing calming teas for restless shifter families who, like her, had no pack. This was survival. She had built this quiet existence with her own two hands, far from the cruelty of pack law. She hid her children, and herself, because the world devours weakness. And she, Arya Thorne, had been the weakest of them all, or so she was told. She packed her herbs as the sun began to dip, painting the sky in bruises of purple and orange. The twins ran ahead, their laughter echoing. For a moment, her heart felt almost light. But a new scent cut through the pine.
Ozone.
Power. And the metallic tang of Silvercrest Packlands.
Arya froze.
A man stood near her cabin. He wasn't a logger. He was a pack warrior, dressed in the dark gray leathers of an alpha's guard. He was disciplined, unmoving, and he watched her with the predatory stillness of a wolf who knows its own strength. Her first instinct was to grab her children. To run. To shift and tear a path through the forest until their scents were lost. But she was a mother. She couldn't run forever. Healer, the guard asked. His voice was flat. Arya pushed the twins gently behind her skirts. I am. I bring word from Alpha Cashenvale. The name hit her like a physical blow. A fist of ice that punched the air from her lungs. She hadn't heard that name spoken aloud in 6 years. 6 years of running. 6 years of silence. I have nothing to do with Silvercrest, she said, her voice rough. The Alpha isn't asking. The guard's lip curled, just slightly. He saw her as she was a lone female, an Omega by the scent of her, living on the scraps of the world. He announces as Luna. Arya's blood went cold. She had expected many things. A hunting party. An execution order. Banishment. Not this. Not that. The guard continued, his words falling like stones. Alpha Cashenvale will formally bind himself to Lady Evangeline of the Red Moon Pack. The ceremony is in 3 days. All territories, even the neutral zones, are informed. He wasn't just informing her. He was warning her. Stay away. A cold, bitter laugh threatened to bubble up in her throat. After all this time, after he broke her, shattered her, and threw her away like garbage, he was finally taking an official Luna. Arya merely nodded, her face a mask of calm she did not feel. Thank you for the news. The guard watched her for a beat too long, his eyes narrowing. He seemed to search her face for something, recognition, fear, pain. He found nothing. She had become an expert at showing the world nothing. As the guard turned and disappeared back into the trees, dissolving into the shadows, Arya finally let out the breath she was holding. It shuddered from her lungs. He was taking Luna. The past she had buried so deep was not dead. It was clawing its way back to the surface. Chapter 2. The Gilded Insult. The news of the engagement festered. It was a splinter under her skin, invisible but throbbing with a dull, persistent ache. Arya tried to ignore it. She had to. She had poultices to mix and children to feed. She focused on the rhythm of her life. Grind the herbs, stir the pot, check the snares, kiss her children's heads. She repeated the mundane tasks because they were the only things keeping the panic at bay. The The next day, the rain came. A cold, miserable downpour that turned the forest floor to mud. The twins were restless, trapped inside the small cabin. Leo was coughing, a dry, hacking sound that worried her. She brewed him a tea with honey and elderberry, but her hands shook. The scent of Silvercrest returned before the knock. This time, it wasn't a guard. It was a formal pack courier, his cloak dripping water onto her clean-swept floor. He looked at her small cabin with disdain.
Arya Thorn.
She hated that he knew her name. Yes. He didn't offer pleasantries. He held out a single, impossibly thick envelope. It was sealed with the silver wax stamp of the Vale Alpha, the snarling wolf's head she still saw in her nightmares. By decree of the Alpha, you are summoned, he said. Summoned. Her heart hammered. I am not his pack member. He has no authority here. It's an invitation, the courier sneered, tossing the envelope onto her drying rack. It landed with a heavy thud. He left without another word. For a long time, Arya just stared at the cream-colored cardstock. It was a violation. A piece of his world, sitting here among her herbs and her children's wooden toys. It smelled of him. That arrogant mix of power, winter, and something uniquely Cashin. Her fingers trembled as she picked it up. The paper was heavy, expensive. The edges were gilded in real silver. She broke the seal. The script inside was elegant, perfect, and utterly cruel. It wasn't just an invitation to his engagement gala. It was a command. But it was the address, scrawled at the very top, that stole her breath. It was not addressed to Arya Thorn, healer. It was addressed to the former Omega servant. The cabin spun. The air thickened. He had not forgotten her. He had not let her go. This was not an oversight. It was a message. A reminder of her place. You are nothing. You are nothing. You will always be nothing but the dirt I scraped from my boot. Rage, hot and blinding, flooded her. It was so potent it almost made her shift right there. Her claws pricked at her palms. He wanted to humiliate her. Again, after 6 years, he was still finding new ways to remind her she was worthless. Did he think she would crawl back? Beg for scraps at his glittering party? Did he think she was still that broken, terrified 19-year-old girl who believed his lies?
Nana.
Arya flinched, shoving the invitation behind her back. But she was too slow. Leo stood in the doorway of their sleeping room, his silver eyes wide. He held his small wooden wolf, the one she'd carved for him. Mama, you're crying, he whispered. Arya swiped angrily at her cheek. She hadn't even realized. I'm not crying. Her voice was tight.
I'm angry.
Why? Celine joined him, her expression a perfect mirror of her mother's own guarded nature. Arya looked at the invitation. This piece of paper. This link to the man who had given her everything and then taken it all away. She had to lie. She had to protect them. But Leo stepped forward, his small face serious. He looked from the invitation to his mother's pained expression. Mama, he asked, his voice small but clear. Who's our father? Chapter 3. The Whisper of the Moon. The question hung in the tiny cabin, heavier than the storm raging outside. Who's our father? Arya's throat closed. She had rehearsed this moment. She had prepared a story about a brave warrior who died, a kind rogue who had moved on. Any lie would have been better than the truth. But looking at Leo's silver eyes, Cashin's eyes, the lies caught in her throat like burrs. He was a man from a long time ago, she whispered. It was a pathetic answer. Is he the man who sent the letter? Celine asked, always too smart, too perceptive. Yes, Arya admitted. The admission felt like poison on her tongue. Why is he inviting you to a party if he makes you cry? Leo pressed. Because he's a monster. Because he wants to prove he won. Because he branded me worthless and wants the world to see it one last time. He, it's complicated little wolves. She tried to distract them, to offer them the bread from old man Hemlock, but the fragile piece of their lives was shattered. The twins were quiet, watchful. They knew. They sensed the shadow that had just fallen over their home. That night, Arya did not sleep. She sat by the fire, the heavy invitation in her lap, to the former Omega servant. He might as well have spat in her face. He was going to bond himself to another female. he was going to give her the title of Luna, the title that should have been Aria's, the title the moon goddess herself had promised her, the night their marks had blazed to life. Aria pressed her hand to her shoulder, where the faded, jagged lines of his rejection mark still burned under her tunic, a permanent reminder of her failure. She should burn the invitation. She should take her children and run, deeper into the wilds where his name was only a rumor. That was the safe thing to do. That was what the broken Omega servant would do. But as the storm died and the moon, a perfect, accusing white disk, rose above the trees, something else stirred inside her. It was not the broken Omega. It was the mother. She thought of her children. They were 6 years old. They deserved more than hiding in the mud. They deserved to know their heritage. They deserved a name. A cold, terrifying calm settled over her. The moon goddess did not speak in booming voices. She whispered. She whispered in the pull of the blood, in the ache of a broken bond, in the fierce, primal need to protect one's young. Aria looked at the fire. Kashin wanted to humiliate her. He was summoning her to his engagement gala as a final act of dominance, to show his new bride and all the packs what he'd thrown away. He expected her to cower. He expected her to stay gone. He was inviting the Omega servant. He had no idea he was also inviting the mother of his children. A new strength, cold and sharp as forged steel, flooded her veins. She would not run. She had run for 6 years. She rose from her stool. The decision was made. Fate was a cruel beast, but she would no longer let it drag her. She would walk beside it. She moved to the small chest where she kept her few valuable possessions. Her own mother's healing journal, a dry-pressed moonflower, and a single, fine woolen cloak she had saved. She laid it out. He wanted her to come. He wanted to show everyone his power. A slow, dangerous smile touched Aria's lips. It was the first real smile she'd worn in years. It was all teeth. She would go. She would walk into his glittering party. But she wouldn't be coming alone. She picked up the invitation, her knuckles white. Let him see what he threw away. Chapter 4. What he threw away. The Silvercrest Pack house was not a house. It was a fortress of glass and dark stone. It loomed over the valley, a monument to power. It was the physical shape of his power. Aria stood at the massive oak doors, her knuckles white. She held Leo's hand in her right, Celine's in her left. Their small palms were damp with nervous sweat. Mama, it's too loud, Celine whispered, her small body shrinking against Aria's leg. The sound of music, bright, sharp strings and deep, rolling laughter, bled out into the cold night. It smelled wrong. It was too much. Too much rich food. Too much cloying perfume. It smelled like decadence. It smelled like him. Aria wore her only good cloak. The one she had saved for 6 years. It was clean, but it was homespun wool. Beneath it, her healer's dress was patched. She felt like a common crow about to walk into a cage of glittering, venomous peacocks. Let them look. The thought was not a prayer. It was a curse. Let them see. We stand tall, Aria told her children. Her voice was a low, fierce whisper. No matter what, you look them in the eye. You are not worthless. Do you understand? Leo nodded, his silver eyes wide and serious. Celine just gripped her hand tighter. Aria pushed the doors. They swung open on silent, oiled hinges, revealing a hall of impossible light and color. The world stopped. The music died first. A single violin note squeaked into the sudden, heavy silence. Then the laughter choked. Then the conversation. A thousand whispers died at once, sucked into a vacuum of pure shock. 100 pairs of high society eyes turned. 100 aristocratic noses sniffed the air. They saw her. The Omega servant. The filthy alpha had scoured from his lands. The girl who was not good enough. But they did not just see her. They saw the children. Aria's gaze was singular. She ignored the glittering crowd. She ignored the shocked faces of wolves she had once served, wolves who had sneered at her. She looked only at the dais at the far end of the hall. He was there.
Alpha Cassian Valley.
He was more beautiful than she remembered, and that made it hurt more. He was crueler. He wore formal black, a silver sash draped across his powerful chest. His hair was black as a raven's wing. He was a king in his element, radiating an arrogance that choked the air. Beside him, his intended Luna, Lady Evangeline, was a vision in white silk. Pale, perfect, and from a bloodline as pure as his. Arya took one step, then another. The thud of her worn boots on the marble floor was the only sound in the entire world. Cashin's eyes found hers. His glass-calm expression, the one he wore for his pack, shattered. She saw it all.
Shock.
Disbelief. A flash of something dark and violent, shame. Then his gaze dropped. It fell from Arya's defiant face to the two small children clutching her hands. He looked at Leo's face. He saw the impossible, bright silver eyes, a perfect mirror of his own, staring back at him. Cashin Vale did not move. He did not speak. His mask of control was absolute, but his wolf was not. A sound ripped through the silent hall.
It was not a human sound.
It was a low, agonizing, possessive growl that vibrated the crystal glasses. It was the sound of a soul recognizing its own.
Mate.
Chapter 5. The storm breaks. The growl echoed. It hung in the air, a predatory sound in a room built for politics. Then a scream. Cashin. Lady Evangeline's voice was a high, sharp knife. What is the meaning of this? Who is that? The spell broke. The room exploded into a roar of voices. Pups. Look at the boy's eyes. They are veil eyes. It's the servant girl. The one he exiled 6 years ago. He brought his omega filth for his own bonding. The whispers were a tide of filth rising around Arya. She immediately pulled her children back, shielding their bodies with her own. Celine was trembling, burying her face in Arya's cloak. Leo, however, just stared at Cashin, his small face a mask of strange, burning curiosity. Silence. Cashin's command was a physical force. It slammed into the crowd, and the room went quiet, but the tension was a living thing, coiling and striking. Evangeline, her perfect face white with fury, ripped the white moonflower from her hair.
She threw it at his chest.
This is a mockery. You have made a fool of me. You have made a fool of my pack. She turned and stormed from the dais, her sobs echoing her humiliation. Cashin did not watch her go. His eyes, those silver, stormy eyes, were locked on Arya. He looked like a man seeing a ghost. A ghost who had just set his entire life on fire. He descended the steps, moving toward her. The crowd parted for him like the sea for a tidal wave.
Arya tensed, bracing herself.
Stay back, Cashin. In my study. Now. His voice was low, lethal. It was the Alpha command. It used to make her knees weak with need. Now. It just made her burn with rage.
No.
His eyes flashed dangerous gold. Do not test me, Arya. Not here. Not in front of them. He didn't wait for her answer. He grabbed her arm. The touch was fire. A jolt of the broken bond, sharp and agonizing, shot through them both. They both recoiled, hissing in pain, as if they had touched hot iron. The feeling was so intense. Arya almost fell. Guards, he snapped, his voice rough. He was breathing heavily, his eyes still fixed on where his hand had touched her. Secure this room. No one leaves. Get the council. He pointed to a heavy oak door to the side.
In. Now.
Or, I will have you dragged. Arya knew she had no choice. She was on his land. She was his prisoner. She gathered her children and walked past him, her chin high. She refused to let him see the terror shaking her hands. The study was dark. All leather, old world power, and the scent of his control. He slammed the door, shutting out the noise. They were alone, for the first time in 6 years. What have you done? He breathed. He wasn't yelling. He was shaking. His rage was a cold, controlled thing. Me?
Arya laughed.
The sound was brittle, broken. What have I done? You bring them here? To my engagement?
To ruin me.
You invited me, she said, her voice like ice. She pulled the crumpled, elegant invitation from her pocket. She threw it on his massive desk, to the former Omega servant. He flinched. The great Alpha actually flinched.
Arya.
I. You what? She shot back. You didn't think I'd come? You thought I'd crawl away and die quietly? You thought I'd let you erase us? They are.
He couldn't say it.
He just stared at Leo, at the proof. Are they? Yes, Arya said. The single word was a death sentence to his old life. Why? He whispered. His control was cracking. Why did you hide them? Why come back now, like this? Why? She finally met his gaze. The pain of 6 years, the humiliation, the cold nights, the terror for her children. It all rose up. You wanted to humiliate me, Cassian. You succeeded, years ago. Chapter 6, The Gilded Cage. Cassian stared at her. Her words struck him silent. He looked from her defiant, hate-filled face to the children. He saw his own features mirrored in their small, perfect faces. His blood. His heirs. The Alpha who had everything was, in an instant, a man who had lost his entire future. Before he could find a single word, the study door burst open. 3 old, stern-looking wolves in formal council robes entered. Elder Kale, his face a map of scars and judgment, led the way. His eyes were like chips of ice. Alpha, Kale said, his voice a low growl. Explain this.
Now.
The Red Moon Envoy is demanding your head. They call this an act of war. An insult to their bloodline. Kale's gaze fell on Arya. The Omega. His voice was filled with a deep, ancient disgust. Then he saw the pups. His face went rigid. So, he hissed, the rumors from 6 years ago were true. You brought your filth back to our lands. They're children, Arya snapped, pushing Leo and Celine behind her. They are abominations, Kale shot back. Unclaimed. Unrecognized. They have no place here. They are a stain on your legacy, Alpha. On our pack. Cassian straightened. The personal shock vanished, replaced by the cold mask of the Alpha. He was cornered, and a cornered wolf is the most dangerous. They will be dealt with, Cassian said, his voice flat. Exile them, another elder demanded. Send her and her mistakes back to the wilderness. We will appease Lady Evangeline. We will fix the treaty.
No.
Everyone froze. The word came from Cassian, sharp and final. Kale stepped forward. Alpha, do not let this creature cloud your judgment. The Red Moon Treaty is worth more than a servant's shame. I do not care about the treaty, Cassian cut him off. He looked at the children, his face completely unreadable. I will not have pups of any bloodline exiled in my name. It was a political masterpiece. Arya's stomach turned. He wasn't claiming them. He was acting as a benevolent, powerful Alpha. He was playing a game. They are a threat, Alpha, Kale insisted. A distraction. Then I will contain the threat, Cassian declared.
His voice was iron.
This female, Arya, and the children are now wards of the Silvercrest Pack. They will be held here, under my personal guardianship, until this matter is resolved. Guardianship. He made it sound like a disease. He was claiming ownership. You can't do this. Arya cried, panic rising in her throat. They are my children. You have no right. I have every right, Cassian said, his eyes hard and cold as steel. You are on my land. You brought this scandal to my door. You will stay. You will be silent. And you will not leave this estate. Am I clear? He was trapping her. She was a prisoner. Guards, he bellowed. 2 guards entered the study. Take them to the guest wing. Lock the door. They are not to be disturbed. By anyone. Arya had no choice but to follow.
She was back.
She was back in the house that had destroyed her. Only this time, she was not a servant. She was a prisoner. Hours later, she sat in a guest room so large and opulent it could fit her entire cabin 5 times over. It was cold, despite the raging fireplace. The twins were asleep in a massive 4-poster bed, exhausted by the night. The door was locked. She had already checked. She stood by the window, staring out. The moon was high and full, bathing the world in a judgmental silver light. Arya clutched her shoulder, right over the faded, jagged lines of his rejection mark. Suddenly it burned. A sharp, pulling ache throbbed from the scar. It was a feeling she had not felt in 6 long years. It was the bond. The broken, dead, severed bond. It pulsed, a faint echo of life. And she knew, with a terrifying, sinking dread, that he felt it too. Chapter 7. The Wolf's Den. The guest wing was a cage. A beautiful, gilded cage, but a cage all the same. Sunlight, a weak, watery yellow, streamed through the tall windows. It illuminated dust motes dancing in the air. Arya had not slept. She sat in a velvet chair, watching her children breathe in the massive bed. They looked so small, swallowed by the expensive linens. This house was full of ghosts. She remembered this room. She had scrubbed these very floors on her hands and knees. She had polished the silver handles on the armoire, her reflection a warped, skinny smudge in the metal.
She had been invisible then.
Now, she was a spectacle. A soft knock came at the door. It was not locked.
Arya stiffened.
She expected a guard. Instead, a young Omega girl entered, her head bowed low. She carried a tray heavy with food, steaming porridge, fruit, fresh milk, and bread. The smell of it made Arya's stomach clench with a hunger she hadn't realized was there. The Alpha, he sent this, the girl mumbled, her eyes fixed on the floor. Arya knew her. Alera. She had been a scullery maid, just like Arya. Now, she was shaking. Thank you, Alera, Arya said, her voice soft. Alera's head snapped up. Her eyes were wide with a mix of terror and awe. You remember my name? Of course I do. No one ever remembers us, Alera whispered. She glanced at the sleeping children, her expression softening. They are beautiful. They look just like him. The whispers had already begun. The gossip was probably thick as tar in the kitchens. Arya knew how it worked. The servants saw everything. They knew the truth long before the masters did. What are they saying, Alera? Arya had to know. Alera flinched. That you are brave. That you are fool. That Lady Evangeline has sworn to see your pup's blood spilled. That the council is furious. She paused, then added, and that the Alpha has not slept. He just watches. Watches what?
Arya wondered.
After the girl left, Arya tried to make her children eat. They nibbled at the bread, their eyes huge and wary. This place was cold. It lacked the smell of pine and damp earth. It smelled of old power and wax polish. Later that afternoon, the children grew restless. They needed to move. They were young wolves, and the room was too small. Arya cracked the door. A guard stood at the end of the hall, but he only watched her. He did not move. She led the twins down the grand staircase, her hand tight on the polished banister. This was the same staircase she used to hurry down before dawn, carrying buckets of water. They reached the main floor. He was there.
Cashin.
He wasn't the Alpha. He wasn't the king on his dais. He was just a man, standing by a massive window, staring out at the rain. He looked tired. His shoulders were slumped. The formal black jacket was gone, his white sleeves rolled up. He looked haggard, guilt-ridden. He had not heard them. Celine, ever the quiet one, watched him. Leo, ever the brave one, let go of Arya's hand. Mama, is that him? Leo whispered. Yes, Arya breathed. Leo took a step, then another. He walked right up to the most powerful, dangerous man Arya had ever known. Arya's heart stopped. She started to lunge forward, to snatch him back. But Leo just stood there. He tugged on the fabric of Cashin's trousers. Cashin froze. He looked down slowly, his face a mask of confusion. Are you the Alpha? Leo asked, his voice clear in the huge, silent room. Cashin stared. He couldn't seem to find his voice. He just nodded. Oh, Leo said, his head tilted. Mama says you're the man who sent the letter. He paused, then asked, are you our papa? Chapter 8. A crack in the ice. The question echoed. Are you our papa? Cashin looked as if Leo had struck him. He knelt, his movements stiff, unnatural. He was now eye level with the boy. With his son. He opened his mouth. I closed it. He was the Alpha. He commanded armies. He negotiated treaties. He could not answer a simple question. Arya watched, her heart a painful drum against her ribs. This was it. The moment of truth. Leo, Cashin said. His voice was rough. Broken. My name is Cashin. It was not a yes. It was not a no. It was a deflection. Arya's anger, which was always simmering, flared. That's enough, Leo. Come here. Leo ignored her. He reached out a small, chubby hand. He placed it right on the side of Cashin's face. Cashin did not breathe. He did not move. He just knelt there, like a statue, letting the small boy touch him. A tremor ran through his powerful frame. Celine, seeing her brother was safe, crept forward too. She hid behind Leo, peering at Cashin. Your eyes are like mine, Leo stated, as if it were a simple fact, like the sky being blue. Cashin finally, slowly, raised his hand. He covered Leo's hand with his own, pressing it to his cheek. His eyes squeezed shut for a single second. It was a look of such profound, agonizing pain that Arya almost forgot to hate him. Then he stood up, abruptly. The mask of the Alpha slammed back into place. They should not be down here, he said, his voice cold. The pack is unsettled. They are children, Arya snapped. They need air. They are not your prisoners to be locked in a room. They are safe in that room, he retorted, his silver eyes flashing. Do you have any idea what you have done? What Kale and the elders want to do to you? To them. He was right. She knew he was right. And that made her hate him more. Just then, a commotion came from a side hall. A pack member burst in, his arm bleeding, his face pale with panic. Alpha. It's the patrol, he gasped. The Red Moon Pack, they didn't just leave. They sabotaged the southern border traps. There. He was cut off by a yelp of pain. Not from the guard, but from outside. Cashin moved, a blur of speed. He was out the side door before Arya could even process what was happening. She followed, her healer's instincts taking over. In the courtyard, a young wolf lay on the stones. A yearling, barely more than a pup. His leg was caught in a brutal trap, one with iron teeth, not meant for hunting, but for maiming. It was Red Moon design. The pup was howling, snapping at anyone who came close. Get back. Cashin ordered his guards. You're scaring him. Someone get the cutters. They won't work, Alpha, a guard said. The pressure is too tight. If we move him, he'll sever the tendon. The pup whimpered, his eyes rolling in fear. I can help, Arya said quietly. Cashin turned to her. His eyes were full of doubt. I am a healer, she stated. Or did you forget that too? She walked past him, kneeling by the injured wolf. Shh, little one, she murmured. I am here. I will not hurt you. She did not look at Cashin. Alpha, hold his head. Keep him steady. It was an order. He obeyed it. He knelt opposite her, his large, warm hands gently cupping the wolf's head. Their eyes met over the animal's whimpering body. Arya worked quickly. I need you to press here, she said, on the artery, to slow the bleeding. Yes, just like that. Their hands were close. His scent, pine, winter, and power, filled her lungs. It was so familiar it made her dizzy. She worked the trap mechanism, her fingers deft. He's going into shock. Keep talking to him. It's all right, Cashin said, his voice strangely gentle. You are safe. Was he talking to the wolf, or to her? With a sharp click, the trap sprang open. The pup yelped. Arya immediately pressed her hands to the wound, her energy flowing into him. Cashin watched, his eyes wide with a forgotten awe. You still have your gift, he whispered. Some things are not so easily broken. They stood up. Their work was done. Guards rushed in to take the pup to the pack infirmary. They were alone in the courtyard, the rain starting to fall. He started. Thank you. I did it for the wolf, not for you. She turned to leave. Wait. He reached out. He did not grab her arm. He just placed his hand on her shoulder, right over the spot where his rejection mark was. There was no fire this time. It was a slow, agonizing warmth. A deep, pulling throb. They both froze. It was too long. The touch lasted a second too long. It was too real. Arya's breath hitched. She looked at his hand on her shoulder, then up at his face. His eyes were dark with a feeling she could not, would not, name. She jerked away, as if she'd been burned. Don't touch me. Chapter 9. the price of blood. The tension was a living creature. It followed Arya back to her room. It sat with her as she stared at the walls, the phantom warmth of his hand still burning on her shoulder. The bond was not dead. It was a wounded, angry thing, and their proximity was waking it up. For 2 days, she was left alone. Food appeared. Guards stood in the hall. But she did not see Cashin. It was worse than seeing him. The silence gave her time to think, to remember,
to feel.
She saw the looks on the servants' faces when they brought the food. They were no longer just awed. They were scared. The whispers had changed. The air in the house was thick with a new, dark energy. On the third morning, Elder Kale appeared at her door. He did not knock. He entered, flanked by two of his own guards. Not Cashin's. Omega, he said. His voice was like gravel. Arya immediately stood in front of the twins, who were building a small house of wooden blocks. You are not welcome here, Elder, Arya said, her voice steady. And you, he sneered, are a plague. You have undone 6 years of stability. The Red Moon Pack has formally severed the treaty. Our southern borders are weak. All because of you. This is not my fault. It is his. It is the fault of your blood, Kale hissed. This unholy mixing. This pollution. He looked at Leo and Celine with undisguised hatred. The council has met. We have a solution. A cold dread washed over Arya. What solution? The pups must be proven. Or they must be purged. Proven. You claim they are of Veilblood. You claim they are the alphas. He smiled, a cruel twisting of his scarred lips. Prove it. A blood test. Tonight. In front of the entire council. Arya's stomach dropped. A blood test. It is a simple ritual. A drop of blood from the father. A drop from the pups. The moon goddess reveals the truth. We will see, once and for all, if your claim is real. This was a trap. She knew it. And if the test is positive? Then we have a different problem, Kale said. A possible heir of mixed, weak blood. An alpha who broke his own laws. And if it is negative?
Arya whispered.
If they are not his? If you are a liar, come to his bonding with another male's whelps. Kale's eyes glittered. Then the punishment is final. Exile is too kind for a traitor who would threaten the stability of an entire pack. You and your pups will face the consequences. He was going to kill them. He was looking for a legal excuse to murder her children. Her fear turned instantly to a white-hot, protective rage. Get out. Tonight. At moonrise. Be in the Alpha study. Or we will come and drag you there. Kale turned and left. Arya ran to the door and slammed it, locking it. She sank against the wood, her body shaking. She had to warn Cashin. This wasn't just about her. This was Kale making a power play against his own Alpha. She ran to the main hall. The guards. They were gone. The hall was empty. Kale had dismissed them. She was trapped. She ran through the house, her boots pounding on the marble. She did not know where he would be. She finally burst into the study, the room where he had first trapped her. He was there, facing the fireplace. And he was not alone. Kale and the other two elders were with him. Alpha, Kale was saying, his voice reasonable. It is the only way to restore order. The pack is divided. They need a sign. You would put children on trial? Cashin's voice was low, dangerous. We would put the Omega on trial, Kale corrected. If the pups are yours, they are ours to deal with. If they are not, I will not allow it, Cashin stated. You do not have a choice. Kale's voice rose. The law demands it. The pack demands it. Or are you placing this servant above the law? Cashin turned. He saw Arya standing in the doorway, her face pale, her eyes wide with terror. His gaze locked with hers. The whole world seemed to narrow to the space between them. He saw her fear. He saw her defiance. He saw her standing in front of his son. His decision was made. He turned back to the council, his face carved from ice. He looked at Kale, his alpha power flooding the room, making the very air crackle. You want proof, Kale? He said, his voice deadly quiet. You want to invoke the old blood laws? He rolled up his sleeve.
Fine.
If they want proof, I will give them my blood. Chapter 10. The Silver Chalice. The great hall was silent. It was a different kind of quiet this time. Not a shock. This was the cold, heavy silence of a tribunal. The pack's core members were assembled. They stood in a severe half-circle. Elder Kale was at the center, his face a mask of grim satisfaction. He believed he had Kashin trapped. He believed he was moments from purging the pack of Arya and her mistakes. Arya stood on one side of a large, ancient stone table. Kashin stood on the other. Between them sat a single, ornate silver chalice, empty and waiting. Leo and Celine were not present. Arya had refused. She had locked them in the guest room, promising Alara her life if she let anyone near that door. "The law is clear," Kale announced, his voice booming in the stillness. "The moon goddess does not lie. Blood will tell its truth. Alpha, you have agreed to this."
"I have," Kashin said. His voice was steady. He was not the cornered man from the study. He was the Alpha. He unrolled his sleeve and held his arm out over the table. Arya's heart hammered. This was a trap. Kale must have a way to falsify the test. He would not risk this public challenge unless he was certain of the outcome. "Let it be known," Kashin said, his voice carrying to every corner, "that I submit to this ritual not to answer to the council, but to silence them." His gaze found Arya's. It was a raw, public declaration. It was the first time he had defended her. Truly defended her. Kale's eyes narrowed. This was not going to his plan. A pack shaman, an old woman wrapped in wolf pelts, stepped forward. She held an obsidian knife. "A drop of the father's blood," she chanted. She pricked Kashin's thumb. A single, dark drop of blood fell into the silver chalice. "And a drop from the pups," the shaman said, turning to Arya.
"I have it," Arya said.
She held up a small vial. She had pricked Leo's finger herself, terrified, while he slept. She would not let this old woman near him. She unstoppered the vial and let one matching crimson drop fall. The two drops of blood sat apart in the chalice's curved bottom. "Moon goddess," the shaman intoned, raising the chalice. "Show us the bond. Show us the truth." The entire room held its breath. The shaman swirled the chalice once. If the blood was not related, it would stay separate. If it was bonded, it would merge. At first, nothing happened. The two drops circled each other, distinct. Kale smiled. A triumphant, cruel smile. Arya felt the world tilt.
Her knees went weak. "No. It was a lie.
A trick." "As we thought," Kale began, "the Omega has—" "Wait," Kashin growled. "The blood in the chalice, it was not merging. It was reacting." A faint, silver light began to glow from within the cup. The two drops of blood did not just mix, they ignited. They spun together, faster and faster, until they were a single, swirling vortex of light. The light was not red. It was a pale, blinding gold. The shaman gasped, dropping the chalice. It clattered to the stone, but the blood did not spill. It pulsed, a single, glowing, golden bead. "What is this?" an elder shouted. "What sorcery is this?"
It is the bond," the shaman stammered, her eyes wide with terror.
"It is veil blood, but it is more. Genetic anomaly." Kale stared, his face ashen. This was not the outcome he had engineered. This was something else. Something divine. The golden light flared once, bright as the sun, then vanished. The bead of blood was gone. The hall was in chaos. "It's a sign. She's cursed."
"No, they're blessed."
Kashin strode around the table. He stood in front of Arya, shielding her from the pointing fingers and the panicked whispers. He faced Kale, his power rolling off him.
"You have your proof, Elder," he snarled.
"The blood has spoken. They are mine." He then looked at the rest of the pack. "And they are Silvercrest." Chapter 11. The Leakin's Mark. The revelation of the golden blood changed everything. It was not a victory. It was a different kind of death sentence. Arya was rushed back to her rooms, Kashin's personal guards at her door. But she was no longer just a scandalous prisoner. She was an omen. The pack was terrified of her. The servants who once pitied her now skittered away, making signs to ward off evil. She was more alone than ever. That night, a new visitor came, The knock was so soft, Arya almost thought it was the wind. Alara, the young Omega servant, slipped inside. Her eyes were huge. "You must come," Alara whispered, trembling.
"Now."
"She is asking for you." "Who is asking for me?"
Arya demanded.
"I'm not leaving my children. My grandmother. Old Moria. She knows what the golden blood means." Alara grabbed Arya's hand. Her skin was ice cold.
"Please.
She lives by the old shrine. She says it is a matter of life and death. She says the curse is at stake." Arya looked at her sleeping children. A new, deeper fear settled in her bones. This was bigger than Cashin. Bigger than Kale. "Watch them," Arya ordered Alara. "Bar the door." Arya slipped out into the darkened halls. She moved like a ghost, following the shadows she knew so well from her youth. She bypassed the guards using an old servant's passage. The shrine was a collapsed ring of stones deep in the woods behind the pack house. Old Moria was there, a hunched figure feeding a small, smoky fire. She was ancient, blind in one eye, and smelled of wood smoke and secrets. "So," Moria rasped, not looking up, "the lost one returns. The one who carries the fire." "What do you know?" Arya asked, staying in the shadows. "I know what Kale has forgotten. I know what the council chooses to ignore." Moria turned, her one good eye pinning Arya to the spot. "They call you Omega."
"Weak."
"But your mother, she was not of this pack, was she?" "She was a healer," Arya said. "A rogue. She died when I was young." "She was a liar," Moria cackled, her voice like dry leaves. "She hid what she was. Because she was smart. Because she was hunted." "What are you talking about?" Moria reached out a bony hand. "Show me your mark. Not his." She pointed to Arya's shoulder. "The other one. The one your mother gave you."
Arya hesitated.
She pulled down the collar of her tunic. On her other shoulder, hidden and pale, was a small, crescent-shaped birthmark. Moria traced it, her finger surprisingly warm. "I knew it. The moon's scar. The mark of the Lycan."
Arya stared.
That is a myth. A children's story. Is it?" Moria challenged. "Lycan blood is not wolf blood. It is older. It is pure. It is the blood of the first moon. It is the only blood that can heal the divide." "The divide? Why do you think our packs are so broken?" Moria demanded, her voice rising. "Why do we kill each other over treaties and bloodlines?" "Because of the great curse. The first Alpha and the first Lycan were mates. They were torn apart. The moon goddess cursed all shifter kind, decreeing we would never know peace until the two bloods united again." Arya's head was spinning. "Me? And Cashin?" "The union of Wolf and Lycan," Moria whispered, her eyes glowing in the firelight. "The prophecy says their blood, golden when mixed, will break the curse of divided blood." Arya stumbled back.
"No.
That can't be. He rejected me." "Yes." Moria shrieked, slamming her staff on the ground. "He did not just reject you, you foolish girl. He rejected fate. He rejected the salvation of our entire race." The weight of it was crushing. It was cosmic. Her bond with Cashin wasn't just love. It wasn't just a mistake. It was destiny. And he spat on it. He has to know, Arya whispered, horrified.
He does not, Moria said.
Only the council elders know the full prophecy. And they fear it. They do not want the curse broken. They use the curse. It gives them power. Control. A terrifying realization dawned on Arya. The blood test, Arya said. Kale didn't know it would turn gold. But now he does.
He knows what I am.
He knows what my children are. Yes, Moria said, her voice dropping. And he will not let a Lycan wolf hybrid live. He will not let the prophecy be fulfilled. He will not just try to exile you now, child. He will try to kill us. Chapter 12. The Price of Fate. Arya ran. She did not use the paths. She plunged through the forest, branches whipping her face, her feet sinking into the mud. He will try to kill us. The words were a frantic drumbeat in her skull. Moria's revelation had changed the game. Kale wasn't just a political rival anymore. He was a zealot, protecting a broken system that gave him power. Her children, the hybrids, were a direct threat to that power. She burst through the servant's entrance, her lungs burning, her mind screaming. She had to get to Cashin. He was the only one who could stop this. He was the only one with the power. She found him in the great hall. He was standing alone, staring at the stone table where the blood ritual had taken place. He was magnificent, powerful, and the man who had ruined her life. "Cashin," she gasped, stumbling into the room. He turned. The cold mask was gone. His face was a raw map of confusion and a pain that mirrored her own.
"Arya."
"What is it? What's wrong?" "He's going to kill them," she choked out.
"Kill?"
"He knows what they are. He's going to kill my babies." "What are you talking about?" Cashin strode toward her, gripping her arms. His touch was electric, sending a jolt of that terrible, familiar bond straight through her. "The test proved they are mine. He cannot harm them. They are under my protection." "You don't understand," she cried, desperate, grabbing the front of his tunic. "This isn't about you or me. This is about blood. The golden blood. Our union, it's a prophecy. About a lichen and a wolf." A shadow moved at the edge of the hall. She knows too much. It was Kale. He was not alone. He had 3 council guards with him. They were not wearing pack leather. They wore black, unmarked armor. This was not pack business. This was an execution. "Kale!" Cashin roared, pushing Arya behind him. "What is the meaning of this? This is treason." "No, Alpha," Kale said, his voice smooth. "This is salvation. The Omega is a genetic contamination. A lichen. Her bloodline is a heresy. The prophecy must be stopped." "You knew," Cashin whispered, his voice deadly. "You knew what she was. You knew, and you let me reject her." "We believed the threat was neutralized when you cast her out," Kale said. "But you, in your weakness, brought her back. And she brought them." He pointed. "Kill her. And kill the Alpha. He is tainted by her. The pack will thank us for purifying the bloodline." The 3 guards lunged. Cashin moved like lightning. He was not a man. He was a force of nature. He grabbed a ceremonial spear from the wall and slammed it into the first guard's chest. But the other 2 were on him. Arya screamed as one guard's blade, black and wicked, coated in what she knew was wolfsbane, slashed across Cashin's side. Cashin roared, a sound of pure, primal agony. He faltered, his strength sapped by the poison. The 3rd guard raised a sword, aiming for Cashin's neck. Arya did not think. She acted. She grabbed a heavy iron candelabra from a table and threw herself at the guard, screaming with all the rage of a mother protecting her young. She slammed the iron into the back of his head. He crumpled. Kale, his face twisted in fury, pulled a knife. "You should have stayed in the dirt, Omega." He lunged. Not at Cashin. At her.
"No."
Cashin bellowed. He threw himself in front of Arya. Kale's knife, meant for her heart, sank deep into Cashin's shoulder. Cashin staggered, but he did not fall. He grabbed Kale by the throat, lifting the elder clean off the ground. "You," Cashin choked out, his blood staining Arya's hands, "will never touch her again." With a sickening crack, he snapped Kale's neck. The elder fell to the floor, his eyes wide and vacant. Silence. The only sound was Cashin's ragged, poisoned breathing. He swayed, his strength finally giving out. He fell to his knees, his blood pooling on the marble. He looked at Arya. The Alpha was gone. Only the man remained. His blood was on her hands. It was everywhere. He reached up, his hand trembling. He touched her face, his thumb smearing his own blood on her cheek. "Don't let me lose you again," he whispered.
And he collapsed.
Chapter 13. The Fire of Honesty. His blood was on her. It was hot, sticky, and it smelled of iron. Cashin lay on the cold marble floor of the great hall, his breath coming in ragged, shallow gasps. The black-bladed knife was still buried deep in his shoulder, a dark mockery of her own rejection mark. The wolfsbane was already working. A faint, black tracery of veins spread from the wound, a spiderweb of death. The guards Kale had brought were dead. Kale himself was a broken shape at the foot of the dais. Arya's healer instinct screamed, overriding the 6 years of hate. She tore a strip of fabric from her own dress and pressed it hard against the wound in his side, the one he took from the first guard. Kashin, she yelled, her voice raw. Stay with me. You do not get to die.
Not now.
He moaned, his powerful body trembling. The poison was paralyzing his wolf. My bag, she gasped, her mind racing. In my room. I need my bag. She could not leave him. She could not drag him. She screamed for help, but the hall was empty. The pack was silent, cowering, listening. She had no choice. She ripped the knife from his shoulder.
He roared.
It was a terrible, broken sound, half man, half beast. Black, poisoned blood welled up. She had to burn it out. It was the only way. Arya grabbed the heavy iron candelabra she had used to save him. The candles were still lit. She shoved the base of it into the nearby fireplace, heating the metal until it glowed a dull, angry red. He watched her, his silver eyes glazed with fever, but he understood. It's all right, he choked out. Do it. This will hurt, she whispered, her hands shaking. I am sorry. I deserve hurt, he breathed. She pressed the glowing metal into the open wound. The smell of burning flesh and acrid poison filled the air. He did not scream. He just clenched his jaw, his entire body going rigid. His eyes locked on hers, a silent, agonizing confession. She held it there until the black blood sizzled and ran clean. Only then did she fall back, breathing heavily. She was slick with his blood and her own sweat. He was alive. The immediate threat was gone. She slumped against a pillar, her strength gone. He lay on the floor, looking at her. The silence in the hall was absolute. You saved me, he rasped. I saved a man, she said, her voice hollow. Do not mistake it for forgiveness. I know. He tried to sit up, but winced, falling back.
Arya.
I was a fool. You were a monster, she corrected, but the word had no heat. She was just tired. Yes. His admission was instant. I was a coward. I chose power over fate, over you. I let Kale and the others tell me your blood was weak. I let them poison my mind. You threw me away, she whispered, the old pain surfacing. You let them brand me. It is my life's single, greatest shame, he said, his voice raw. When I saw you at the gala with them, I realized I had not just thrown away my mate. I had thrown away my soul. He reached out a weak, trembling hand. I never stopped loving you. Not for one day. I just buried it. I buried it in rage and duty and power. She looked at his outstretched hand, covered in his own drying blood. He was the man who had destroyed her. He was the man who had just taken a knife for her. Her mind was at war. She crept forward, not as a mate, but as a healer. She took his hand to check his pulse. He tangled his fingers with hers. I am so sorry, Arya. The tears she had refused to shed for 6 years finally came. They were hot, angry tears. Sorry does not fix what you broke, Kashin.
I know, he said.
But maybe we can. He used her grip to pull himself up just enough. His face was close. He smelled of blood, smoke, and that familiar scent of winter. He was feverish, his eyes bright. I will not lose you again, he vowed. He kissed her. It was not a gentle kiss. It was a collision. It was 6 years of pain, regret, and a desperate, burning need. It was the taste of salt from her tears and the iron of his blood. It was a promise and a curse. When he broke away, he was panting, his forehead resting against hers. If I burn for loving you, he whispered, his voice shaking with fever and confession. If I burn for this, let it be worth it. Chapter 14. The Alpha's Insignia. By morning, the pack house was a powder keg. Kale was dead. The Alpha was gravely wounded. The Lycan prophecy, a story only whispered by grandmothers, was now a raw, bleeding fact. The pack was leaderless, terrified, and angry. Arya had dragged Kashin to his chambers. She had stitched his wounds, her hands steady. She had forced milk thistle broth down his throat to fight the last of the wolf's bane. She had not slept. She sat in a chair by his bed, watching him. The emotional wall she had built for 6 years was gone. In its place was a raw, terrifying vulnerability. She hated it, and she craved it. The door to his chambers burst open. It was not a servant. It was Elder Valerius, the oldest of the council, and four others. They were not zealots like Kale. They were politicians. Their faces were gray with fear and grim determination. "He is not to be disturbed," Arya said, rising from her chair. Valerius ignored her. His eyes were on Cassian. "Alpha, the pack is on the brink of civil war. Your brother, Marcus, is barely holding the line. Kale's faction believes you are a murderer. The rest believe this female is a witch who has cursed you." Cassian sat up slowly. Pain shot across his features, but his voice was iron. "Kale was a traitor. Kale is dead," Valerius snapped. "And the Red Moon Pack is massing at our southern border. They claim you broke the bonding oath with Evangeline and murdered a council elder. They see this as a declaration of war. They are coming, Cassian. They are coming to wipe us out." Arya's blood ran cold. They offer a truce," Valerius said, his voice dropping. "One last chance. A way to save Silvercrest." Cassian's eyes narrowed. "What is the price?" Valerius looked at Arya. His gaze was cold, impersonal. "Her."
Arya froze.
"They want the abomination," Valerius said. "Give them the Lycan. Publicly denounce her. Blame her for Kale's treason. Hand her, and her pups, over to the Red Moon Pack as a token of peace. A sacrifice to restore the treaty." It was happening again. The same choice. His pack. Or her. Arya looked at Cassian. She saw the old war in his eyes. The struggle between duty and love. She knew what he would choose.
He always chose the pack.
She braced herself for the second rejection. The one that would surely kill her. "Just say it," Arya whispered, her voice hollow. "Save your pack. It is what you always do." Cassian looked at her. He saw her resignation. He saw that she truly believed he would cast her out again. That expectation broke something inside him. He swung his legs out of the bed, hissing in pain as his wounds pulled. He stood, unsteady but tall. He was still the alpha. He faced Valerius. "I already chose my pack over my mate once," Cassian said, his voice quiet, but it filled the room. "It was the single greatest mistake of my life. It was a sin against the goddess. It was an act of cowardice." "Alpha, be reasonable," Valerius pleaded. "This is our survival." "No," Cassian said. "This is our damnation. You are asking me to repeat the very sin that brought this curse upon us." He reached up to his neck. He unclasped the heavy, silver pendant shaped like a snarling wolf. It was the Alpha's insignia, the symbol of his office, his power, his life. He threw it on the floor. The clatter of the silver hitting the stone was as loud as a gunshot. The elders gasped. "Then I renounce the title of Alpha," Cassian declared. "I am no longer your leader. I am just her mate. Now, get out of my home." Chapter 15, The Brothers' Betrayal. The stunned silence of the elders was short-lived. Valerius, his face purple with rage, turned and stormed out, the others at his heels. "He has gone mad," they heard Valerius roar in the hall. "The witch has him. Seize the pups." "Cassian, what have you done?" Arya ran to the door, barring it. "They will kill us. They will tear the pack apart to get to us." "Let them," Cassian said. He was already pulling a bag from under his bed. He was weak, but adrenaline and purpose fueled him. "I do not care about the pack. I care about you, and Leo, and Celine. We have to leave. Now." "Leave? Go where?" she cried, panic rising. "The house is surrounded." "There is a way," he said. "An old tunnel. But we have to get to the children." A frantic, desperate knock echoed. It was not the pounding of angry guards. It was a rhythm. Their rhythm. Cassian ripped the door open. It was Marcus, his beta. His face was pale, his eyes torn. "Cassian, my friend, what have you done?" "What I should have done 6 years ago," Cassian said, clasping his friend's arm. "Are you here to stop me?" Marcus looked past Cassian at Arya. He saw the healer, the mother. He saw the woman his alpha had just given up everything for. He made his choice.
Stop you?
I am here to save you, Marcus said, breathing heavily. Valerius is stirring the pack into a mob. He is telling them you are a cursed traitor. They are screaming for your blood. For hers.
My children, Arya whispered, grabbing his arm. Where are my children?
Safe. Marcus pointed down the hall. Ilara brought them to my quarters the moment the shouting started. They are waiting.
Thank you, my brother, Cassian said, relief washing over his face.
Do not thank me yet, Marcus said. He led them at a run down a servant's hallway, away from the roaring mob in the great hall. The tunnel by the old shrine. The one we used as pups.
I know it, Cassian nodded.
They reached Marcus's rooms. Ilara was inside, huddled with Leo and Celine, who looked terrified.
Mama, they cried, running to her.
Arya swept them into her arms, kissing their heads.
It is all right, my loves. We're going on a trip.
Go, Marcus urged, pushing them toward a hidden panel in the wall. It leads to the woods.
I will stay.
I will. I will try to restore reason.
I will buy you time.
Cassian gripped his beta shoulder.
I will not forget this.
Go. The tunnel is dark, damp, and smelled of earth and roots. It was the scent of Arya's old life. The scent of freedom.
Cassian, still wounded, leaned heavily on her.
Arya held Celine's hand, and Cassian held Leo's. A family. Running. They could hear the mob above them. A dull, angry roar. But here, there was only the sound of their feet and their breathing.
Hope, bright and terrifying, bloomed in Arya's chest.
They were doing it. They had chosen love. They were going to be free.
Light appeared ahead.
The end of the tunnel. It opened into the forest near the border.
We are almost there, Cassian panted.
They burst out of the darkness and into the cold moonlight.
They were free.
Did you really think, a cold, silk-smooth voice called out, that I would let you just leave?
Arya Froze.
A dozen figures stepped from the shadows of the pines. They were not Silvercrest wolves. They wore the dark red and black of the Red Moon Pack. And at their head, her face a perfect mask of cold fury, was Lady Evangeline.
After you humiliated me, she hissed, her eyes landing on Arya.
You.
And your filth. The Red Moon warriors raised their bows. The ambush was sprung. Chapter 16. The Red Moon's Price. The border was supposed to be a line to freedom. It became a trap. Lady Evangeline stood in the moonlight, her beauty a cold, sharp thing, like a shard of ice. She was flanked by a dozen Red Moon warriors, their bows drawn, their arrows tipped with a sickly gleam of silver.
You really thought you could run?
Evangeline's voice was smooth, a silken venom.
After you ruined me?
After you turned my bonding into a joke. Cassian shoved Arya and the children behind him. His body was a shield, but he was still weak. His wounds from Kale's attack were bleeding sluggishly, his face pale with pain and exertion.
Evangeline, this is not her fault, Cassian said, his voice a low growl.
This is between me and you. Let her go. Let her go. Evangeline laughed. The sound was high and brittle. She is the reason for this. She and her half-blood freaks.
You chose this Omega filth, over me.
Over a treaty that would have secured our people for a generation.
The treaty was a sham, Cassian countered, his eyes scanning the warriors, looking for an opening.
Kale was a traitor. You know this.
I know that you humiliated me, Evangeline hissed.
And I know that the price for your insult is blood.
She raised her hand.
His is tainted. Hers is an abomination.
Kill them.
But save the pups. The pups will be re-educated.
Arya's blood turned to ice.
Re-educated. A fate worse than death.
No,
Arya whispered, pulling Leo and Celine close. You will not touch them.
Brave words, servant.
Evangeline dropped her hand.
Now.
The air filled with the thwip of a dozen bowstrings. Cassian moved. He did not have his full alpha speed, but he had his instincts. He grabbed Arya, spinning her, using his own body to cover hers and the children's. Arya felt the impacts.
One, two, three, four.
Heavy, wet thuds. He grunted, a deep, agonized sound.
Arya screamed.
Cashin staggered, but he did not fall. He turned, his eyes blazing with a final, furious power. Three silver-tipped arrows were embedded in his back. A fourth was in his chest, dangerously close to his heart. Run, he choked out, shoving her. Arya ran, but she was frozen. She stared at the arrows, at the dark blood already staining the front of his tunic. I said run, he roared. Evangeline watched, her face a mask of triumph. How romantic. He dies protecting the very thing that destroyed him. Cashin ignored her. He looked only at Arya. His strength was fading. The silver was burning him from the inside out. He stumbled, falling to one knee.
Cassian, no.
Arya tried to run to him, to heal him. Stay back, he commanded. He knew it was too late. The silver was too deep. The poison too fast. He looked at her, his silver eyes, once so cold, now filled with a desperate, burning warmth. He saw her. Not the servant. Not the Omega. Not the prophecy. Just her. You are never beneath me, Arya, he whispered, his voice a wet rattle. His blood stained the forest floor. You were everything. He collapsed, face first, into the damp earth. His body twitched once. Then it was still. Chapter 17. The Goddess's Bargain. The world stopped. There was no sound. No wind. No thumping heart. Just the image of Cashin, lying broken in the mud, arrows sticking from his back like the quills of some terrible, fallen creature. He was gone. Arya's breath left her body in a single, silent scream. Well, Evangeline said, her voice sharp, breaking the awful stillness. That was disappointing. I had hoped for more of a fight. She motioned to her guards. Seize the pups. The warriors advanced. Arya did not move. She just stared at Cashin's body. The man who had rejected her. The man who had saved her. The man who had died for her. The rage came. It was not a human feeling. It was not the hot, quick anger she had felt before. This was a cold, ancient, cosmic fury. It rose from the center of the earth, up through her feet, and into her soul. It was the rage of a mother whose young were threatened. It was the rage of a mate whose other half had been stolen. You, Arya whispered, her voice so low it was almost a growl. You will not touch them. As the first guard reached for Leo, a light exploded from Arya. It was not gold. It was pure, blinding silver. The light of the full moon, come to earth. It slammed into the red moon guards, throwing them back as if hit by a physical wall. Evangeline stumbled, shielding her eyes. What magic is this? The forest dissolved. The trees, the mud, Evangeline. It all faded into a shimmering, silver mist. Arya was no longer in the woods. She was in a place of white light and floating stars. And she was there. The moon goddess did not have a face. She was a form made of starlight and shadow, impossibly tall, radiating a power that made Arya's very bones ache. You have awakened, little Lekan, a voice said. It was not a sound. It was a feeling inside Arya's head. Arya looked down. Cashin's body was there, at her feet, still and gray. The silver light did not touch him. Save him, Arya begged, falling to her knees.
Please.
You are the goddess. You can do this. Save him. His thread is cut. The silver has taken him. He is mine now.
No.
Arya cried, her rage returning. You cannot have him. It was your prophecy. It was your curse. We were meant to fix it. Fate is a tapestry, little one. He chose to reject it once. And you chose to accept it. His sacrifice has paid his debt. I do not care about his debt. Arya screamed, beating her fists on the silver, misty ground. I care about him. My children need their father. I need him. The goddess was silent for a long moment. The stars around her swirled. There is a choice. A bargain. The scales of life and death must be balanced. A soul for a soul. Arya's head snapped up.
What?
What do you mean? His life for yours. The bargain hung in the air. Full. Simple. Absolute. Arya could bring him back. He could live. He could raise their children. He could fulfill the prophecy, but she would have to take his place in the cold, silent dark. She looked at his peaceful, dead face. She thought of Leo's silver eyes. She thought of Celine's quiet strength. They deserved a father. They deserved a life. Love was not weakness. It was sacrifice. Arya stood, her decision made. She faced the goddess, her small human form trembling but defiant against the cosmic power. She roared, her voice tearing from her throat, a sound of pure, primal devotion. Then take me instead. Chapter 18. The Golden Tear. The goddess tilted her head. A brave choice, little wolf. But a foolish one. It is my choice, Arya said, her body vibrating with the force of her will.
He lives.
I pay the price. That is the bargain.
So be it.
The silver mist began to fade. The stars winked out. The forest, dark and cold, swam back into view. Arya was on her knees, back in the mud. Evangeline and her warriors were still stunned, blinded by the light, staggering to their feet. Her children were huddled by a tree, screaming her name.
Mama. Mama.
Arya looked across at Kashan's body.
He was still dead.
Nothing had changed. You lied, she screamed at the sky. A new pain ripped through her. It was not the pain of grief. It was a cold, seeping emptiness. The goddess was keeping her word. Her life force was being pulled from her, like a thread from a spool. She grew cold. Her limbs felt heavy, made of stone.
Mama.
Leo shrieked, a sound of pure terror. Arya turned to her children. She tried to tell them she loved them. She tried to tell them to be strong. But her breath was gone. Her strength had vanished. This was death. It was cold. It was lonely. She fell, collapsing beside Kashan's body. She landed with a soft thud in the mud. She saw him, his face gray and still. She had failed. She had made the bargain. And for what? She was dying, and he was still gone. Absolute despair. It was a void. A black, bottomless pit of failure. She had lost her past. She had lost her future. She had lost her mate. And now, she was leaving her children. The cold was in her heart. She was dying. A single tear slipped from her eye. It was not a tear of sadness. It was a tear of rage. Rage at the goddess. Rage at Evangeline. Rage at a fate that gave her no good choices. The tear rolled down her cheek. It hit the collar of Kashan's tunic. And it glowed. It was not silver. It was not the cold light of the moon. It was a single, brilliant drop of pure, molten gold. The moment the tear touched him, something inside Arya ignited. The cold vanished. It was replaced by a fire. A fire that ripped through her veins, burning away the despair, burning away the weakness, burning away the human. The bargain was his life for yours. The goddess's voice echoed, not in her head, but from the sky itself.
But I did not say you had to die.
I said you had to give your life. Your old life, Arya Thorne, is over. The leak in power, the blood of her mother, the gift of the first moon, it erupted. Arya's body convulsed on the ground. Her bones felt like they were breaking and reforming. The pain was excruciating, but it was also power. She looked at her hands. They were glowing, a faint, golden aura. Her tears were no longer tears. They were liquid light. She touched Kashan's chest, where the arrow pierced him. Her glowing hand sank through his skin. She felt his heart.
Cold.
Still. Now her own instincts roared. Heal him. Take him back. She poured her new, burning energy into him. His name ripped from her throat, no longer a plea, but a command. Kashan. Chapter 19. The Fire of Two Souls. The power was not a gift. It was an undeath. Arya's command, Kashan, ripped through the forest, and it was not just her voice. It was a harmony. It was her own raw, human grief fused with a second, ancient and utterly inhuman sound. It was the roar of the Lycan. Fire flooded her veins. It was not a metaphor. It was a literal, golden heat that burned away the cold of her death. She felt her body, which had been limp and heavy, become light. It became strong. She was kneeling in the mud, but she was no longer just Arya. Her soul had been ripped out. And in the void, it had found his. She was suddenly aware of him. Not just his body, lying still beside her, but his essence. She felt his last, fading ember of consciousness. She felt his final, painful thought. Her name.
Arya.
I am here, she whispered. But the voice that spoke was not her own. It was deep. It was resonant. It was powerful. Her hands, still pressed to his chest, were no longer just flesh. They were conduits of golden light. She could feel the silver poison from the arrows, a cold, spider-webbing decay inside him. It was a physical thing, a parasite of death. Her new, burning lichen fire met the silver.
It hissed.
She poured herself into him. This was not just healing. This was a merger. She was pushing her life force, her new, divine energy, into his dead vessel. She felt his broken heart. She felt his torn lungs. She felt the cold. And she began to remake him. She pushed her fire against the silver, driving it back. She wrapped her energy around his heart, forcing it to beat. She sealed the torn tissue. She rebuilt what was broken. It was the most intimate act of her life. More intimate than any touch, any kiss. She was inside his soul. She felt his wolf, a great, gray beast, cowering in the dark. It sensed her, a new, golden wolf, and it bowed its head in reverence. Two bloods shall unite as one. The prophecy was not just about a child.
It was about them.
Arya's body changed. She felt it. She was taller, stronger. The world was sharper. She could smell the fear from Evangeline. She could smell the pine needles a mile away. She could smell the salt of her own tears. She, Arya Thorne, the Omega Servant, was gone. In her place was something new. A hybrid. A being of two bloods, forged in death and sacrifice. She had given her old life. And, in its place, she had been reborn. Chapter 20. The Weight of Love. Arya rose to her feet. She moved with a grace she had never possessed. The mud did not cling to her. The blood and dirt on her clothes seemed to evaporate, burned away by the faint, golden aura that now surrounded her. Evangeline and her warriors were on their feet. They stared, their weapons held weakly. They were not looking at a healer. They were looking at a goddess. She is a demon, one of the warriors stammered, raising his bow. Arya looked at him.
She did not speak.
She simply looked. The man's eyes widened. He saw something in her gaze. He saw his own petty hatreds. He saw the children he had been willing to kill. He saw the rot in his own soul. He screamed, dropping his bow. He stumbled back, clawing at his own face, falling to his knees. What did you do to him? Evangeline demanded, her voice shaking for the first time. Her beauty was cracked, her mask of control shattered. What are you? I am what you made me, Arya said. Her voice was a perfect chord of power and sorrow. I am the weakness you hunted. I am the love you mocked. Kill her. Evangeline shrieked, drawing her own silver knife. She is one. We are many. Evangeline lunged, a desperate, clumsy attack. Arya did not move. She did not raise a hand. She simply let her power out. It was not a wave of force. It was a wave of truth. It washed over Evangeline. It was the weight of all her choices. The weight of her jealousy. The weight of her ambition. The weight of the lives she was willing to trade for a broken treaty. Evangeline stopped, frozen. The knife clattered from her limp fingers. She felt the pain Arya had felt, branded and rejected. She felt Cassian's agony as the silver entered his chest. She felt the terror of Leo and Celine.
It was not a physical attack.
It was an emotional one. It was the crushing, unbearable weight of all her sins. You called love weakness, Arya said, her voice soft, yet it carried like thunder. You built your power on the bones of the broken. You wanted to see what real power is. She stepped forward. Evangeline fell to her knees, sobbing. She was not crying in remorse. She was crying in pain, unable to bear the truth of her own heart. This is it, Arya said, standing over her. This is the strength you will never have. The other warriors did not run. They could not. They were all on their knees, weeping, broken by the simple, terrifying purity of Arya's power. She had not harmed a single one of them. She had simply shown them who they were. She had destroyed the old system by holding up a mirror. Arya turned her back on them. They were irrelevant. She looked at her children, who were staring, awestruck. "It is all right," she said, and her voice was her own again, just for them. Then, she turned to the man still lying in the mud. "No one," she whispered to the forest, to the moon, to the broken souls behind her, "will ever call love weakness again." Chapter 21. The Dawn of the Bond. She was terrifying. And she was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. Cashin's first sensation was warmth. His second was her. His eyes snapped open. The world was blurry, a kaleidoscope of dark greens and grays. But he saw her. She was a figure of pure, golden light, kneeling beside him. She was an angel. She was a demon. She was everything.
He tried to speak.
A raw, ragged cough tore from his lungs. It was not the cough of a dying man. It was the cough of a living one. "Arya," he breathed. "Her name." It felt different. It felt like a prayer. Arya's aura faded, the divine power receding as her immediate terror for him ebbed. The goddess stepped back, and the woman he loved, the mother of his children, remained. Tears streamed down her face, but they were no longer golden. They were just hers. "Cashin," she sobbed, a real, human sound. She touched his face, her hand trembling. You are. "Here," he finished. He sat up. There was no pain. He looked down. His tunic was ripped, caked in blood. But the skin beneath was smooth. Unbroken. Not even a scar. He felt new. He felt more than new. He felt whole. He reached for the bond. The place inside him that had been a jagged, broken, aching void for 6 long years. It was not a void. It was a sun. A solid, unbreakable, golden chain now linked his soul to hers. He could feel her. He could feel her relief. He could feel her love. He could feel the steel in her spine. The merger was complete. The Lycan and the wolf were one. He was redeemed. Not by his own actions, but by her sacrifice. By her power. "You," he whispered, his voice thick with an awe that bordered on worship. "You saved me." "We saved each other," she said, her voice shaking. He pulled her to him. He buried his face in her hair, inhaling her scent, pine, earth, and now, something new. Something that smelled like starlight.
"Mama, Papa."
Leo and Celine, finally brave enough, ran to them. They crashed into their parents, their small arms wrapping around both their necks. It was the first time they had ever held them both. A family, forged in death. Cashin looked over Arya's shoulder. Evangeline and her warriors were gone. They had fled, broken and shamed. The first, pale light of morning was breaking through the trees. The dark, terrifying night was over. Dawn was coming. He looked at Arya, his mate, his savior. His equal. She was no longer the servant. He was no longer the alpha. They were just two halves of a single, powerful soul. They fell into each other's arms, their children held between them, as the sun finally rose. Chapter 22. The Age of Brothers. The Great Hall was a ruin. Dawn's light, gray and unforgiving, streamed through the high windows. It illuminated the bodies of Kale and his guards, the shattered remnants of the council's power. The air smelled of cold stone, old blood, and the sharp, electric tang of Arya's power. The pack was creeping back in. Not warriors. Just people. The old, the young, the servants. They stared, terrified, at the bodies. Then they stared at Arya and Cashin, who stood by the broken dais, their children clinging to their legs. Marcus was the first to approach. His face was pale, his eyes wide. He saw Cashin, not dead, but healed. He saw Arya, not an Omega, but a radiant, terrifying new force. "By the goddess," Marcus breathed. You are alive." Elder Valerius followed, his face a mask of ash. He was not angry. He was defeated. He looked at Arya, and it was not with hatred, but with a deep, profound awe. "The prophecy," Valerius whispered, his voice trembling. It is fulfilled. The curse is broken. Kashin stepped forward. He was not leaning. He was not wounded. He stood with a new, quiet strength. He looked at the assembled pack, his family. There is no more curse, he said, his voice clear. And there is no more council. The pack members murmured, confused. For generations, Kashin continued, his gaze sweeping over them. We have followed laws that forced us to be cruel. We valued power over family. We called strength, dominance, and love weakness. We were slaves to a broken tradition. Kale died a traitor to that tradition, but he was also its victim. He looked at Valerius, who flinched. It is over. The old laws are dead. But Alpha, a woman called out. Who will lead us? Who will protect us from the Red Moon Pack? They will not come, Arya said. Her voice was quiet, but it carried to every corner. They have seen what true power is. It is not in armies. It is in truth. It is in the bond. Kashin looked at Arya, his eyes filled with a love so bright it warmed the cold room. He turned back to his pack. He saw the Alpha's insignia, the heavy silver wolf pendant, lying on the floor where he had thrown it. He did not pick it up. He walked right past it. I am not your Alpha, Kashin declared. The word shocked the room into silence. I renounce that title. I am a mate. I am a father. I will not lead you. But Kashin, Marcus protested, you cannot just leave us. I am not leaving you, Kashin said. He placed his hands on Marcus's shoulders. I am freeing you. A pack does not need a single iron fist. It needs brothers. It needs sisters. It needs leaders. He smiled, a genuine smile. Lead them, Marcus. Not as an alpha, as a brother. Led them in peace. Marcus stared, stunned, as the weight of this new future settled on him. Kashin turned his back on the dais. He turned his back on the power, the politics, and the pain. He held out one hand to Arya. He held his other to his son. Our family, we are choosing a different path, he said. They chose family over rule. They walked out of the great hall, leaving the Silvercrest Pack to rebuild itself, not under the rule of an alpha, but under the guidance of a community. They walked out into the rising sun, together. Chapter 23. The Weight of the Wolf. They walked for an hour, away from the Fortress of Stone, deep into the pine forest that Arya loved. The air was clean. It smelled of damp earth and new beginnings. The children, finally feeling safe, ran ahead. Their laughter, a bright, clear sound, echoed through the trees. They were just pups, chasing a butterfly, their terrifying night already fading. Kashin stopped. He was quiet, his gaze distant. Arya came to his side, her hand finding his. What is it? He opened his palm. Lying in it, cold and heavy, was the Alpha's insignia. The Silver Wolf. You picked it up, she observed. Her voice was not accusing. It was just sad. I had to, he said, his voice thick. It was my father's. And his father's before him. It is a symbol of my entire life. My power. My pride. He closed his fist, the metal biting into his skin. My failure. It is the weight of the sin I committed against you. Arya looked at his face. She saw the shame still warring there. He was healed in body, but his soul still bore the scars. It's heavy, he whispered. Then let it go, she said softly. He looked at her, then at the insignia. He knew she was right. He knelt, his knees pressing into the soft, dark earth. This was her territory, the land of the healer. With his bare hands, he dug a hole at the base of a huge, ancient pine. The smell of the rich soil filled the air. It was a good smell. He looked at the Silver Wolf one last time. I was a slave to this, he said to Arya, his voice a raw confession. It made me fear. It made me believe love was a weakness. It made me weak. Arya knelt beside him in the dirt. She placed her hand over his. You were not weak, Kashin. You were afraid. You were raised to be a stone. But you were never stone. You are just broken. He looked at her, his silver eyes searching hers. He saw no judgment. Only understanding. Only acceptance. I am not afraid anymore, he breathed. I know, she replied. Together, They placed the heavy silver pendant into the dark earth. They covered it. Their hands, his and hers, pushed the dirt back, burying the symbol of tyranny, burying the past. Aria's emotional circle was complete. The thing that had branded her, that had driven her out, was now nothing but a buried secret beneath a pine tree. A shout of laughter broke the quiet. Papa, look. Celine ran to them, her hands full of wildflowers. I found them. Cashin's heart stopped.
Papa.
He swept her up into his arms, his strong arms, and held her against his chest. He buried his face in her hair, his heart so full he thought it might burst. Leo ran to Aria, tackling her in a hug.
Mana, ing hungry.
Aria laughed, a real, free laugh. Cashin, still holding Celine, reached out and pulled Aria and Leo to their feet. The pups ran between them, shrieking with joy, pulling their parents into a messy, laughing group hug. The past was buried. The future was here, loud and hungry and beautiful. Chapter 24. The River and the Sun. The world healed. The snows of a hard winter melted, and the forest bloomed with the bright, fierce green of spring. Months had passed since they walked away from Silvercrest. They had a new home. It was not a fortress. It was a small house built of river stone and warm pine, nestled in a valley by a rushing, clear river. It was far from any pack lands. It was just theirs. Aria knelt in the rich, dark earth. Her hands were stained with soil, just as they had been that first day. But she was not digging for milk thistle. She was planting a garden full of blue moon flowers and bright red morning glories. She was planting for beauty, not just for survival. She heard the snap of a twig, but she did not flinch. She did not even look up. She knew the weight of that footstep. She knew the sound of his breath. A shadow fell over her. You will get dirt on your face, he said. Aria smiled, tilting her head back to look at him. Cashin stood there. He was not the alpha. He wore simple linen trousers and a soft tunic. His feet were bare. He held a wicker basket filled with three large, silver fish, glistening from the river. He smiled back. It was an easy smile. A real one. It reached his eyes, making the silver glow with a warmth she had never seen in the pack house. I caught breakfast, he announced.
Good,
she said, rising. Leo is already complaining that he is starving. Cashin dropped the basket and pulled her into his arms. He kissed her. It was not the desperate, pained kiss of their reunion. It was a soft, slow, lazy kiss. It tasted of sunlight and the river. It was the kiss of a man who was completely, utterly at peace.
Mama. Papa.
The twins scrambled up the riverbank, soaked and muddy, their laughter echoing. We found a frog, Leo shouted, holding it up. It is bigger than your hand. Celine yelled.
Cassian chuckled, releasing Aria.
Then let's go see it. He took her hand, and they walked toward their children. Aria paused, just watching them. Her family.
Whole.
Healed.
Safe.
The bond between them was not the painful, agonizing pull it had once been. It was a quiet, steady warmth under her skin. A constant hum of comfort. It was not a chain. It was an anchor. She looked at Cashin. He was kneeling by the river, examining the frog with his son, his expression one of complete fascination. The sun lit his dark hair. He was strong. He was kind. He was hers. He looked up, as if he felt her gaze. He smiled at her, a look of pure, unadulterated devotion. Aria smiled back, a deep, genuine smile of pure happiness. He once rejected me under the moon. Now he worships me under the sun,